From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Jokowi gives new direction related to handling COVID-19 pandemic. Indonesian embassy in Panama City and Bogota facilitate repatriations of Indonesian ship crew. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo led a limited meeting via teleconference with his ministers to discuss the acceleration of handling the COVID-19 pandemic on Wednesday afternoon at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. President at the limited meeting gave three newest directions for his ministers and chairman of task force for acceleration of handling the COVID-19.
Pertama, yang berkaitan dengan pengendalian arus balik. Ini penting untuk kita kendalikan.
Firstly, it is related to controlling people's backflow from going hometown or mudik. This is important for us to control it so that there is no turning circulation in the spread of virus that has the potential to lead to a second wave, particularly in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi areas. Secondly, I want the task force at the ministries to focus on provinces which have new cases that highly enough, especially to give full support to East Jawa of a province related to the readiness of referral hospitals and emergency hospitals, including other provinces outside Java, that the addition of virus cases which are still high, namely South Sulawesi, South Kalimantan, South Sumatra, Papua, and West Nusa Tenggara. Thirdly, I ask for target of 10,000 specimens every day, which I have given the target of several months ago, so that it can be speeded up, so there is a speed. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Task Force for the Acceleration of Handling COVID-19, Tony Monardo, conveyed the government's plan to open a number of regions to conduct normally new activities. He said there are two categories that would be applied to the areas opened, namely areas where there have not been COVID-19 cases and green areas that the number of cases have decreased.
Dua kriteria di sini. Yang pertama adalah daerah-daerah.
There are two categories here. The first is the regions which have no cases at all. There are 110 agencies of the city, which consists of 87 in the mainland area and 23 in the archipelago, except Papua, which later will be given an offer to open 87 regency cities, 65 in the mainland and 22 in the archipelago. These areas are almost sterile from the COVID threat, but they will not always be safe forever. Then the green areas are the cases which the last few weeks it has decreased. Doni Monardo also added that his side would coordinate with the National Development Planning Agency and the Ministry of the Economy so that those areas can be given looseness or offered to carry out wider activities based on the capabilities of the regions. The Indonesian embassy in Panama City, Panama, facilitates the repatriation of 76 Indonesian crews who had completed their working contracts. Reinhard Sinaga, counselor of the Indonesian embassy in Panama City, to Voice of Indonesia through his short message on Wednesday, said The repatriations of the ship crews is carried out by the chartered flight through Barbados, as the airports in Panama is closed until June 22, 2020. He added that the crew repatriation is carried out in cooperation with the Indonesian embassy in Bogota, and it will be divided in two phases.
Dalam proses pemulangan ini, dapat juga kami sampaikan bahwa KBRI Panama City bekerja sama dengan KBRI di Bogota.
In this repatriation process, we can convey the Indonesian embassy in Panama City cooperates with the Indonesian embassy in Bogota as a representative office of the Republic of Indonesia in Barbados. The flight from Barbados to Indonesia left last May 26, 2020. However, the repatriation of the Indonesian ship crews cannot be done simultaneously, but is divided into two phases. In this regard, we have asked questions to the principal's company about it, and we have information that this has happened because the crew repatriated are merged with other crews and it is done with physical distancing. We have repatriated 46 of the 76 crew. The remaining 30 people are scheduled to be repatriated on May 31, 2020. Via Barbados.
Yang dipulangkan kemarin. Sisanya sejumlah 30 orang rencananya akan dipulangkan pada tanggal 31 Mei 2020 tetap melalui Barbados.
Reinhard Sinaga further said the cost of the repatriations process of 76 Indonesian crew members to Indonesia is borne by the ship's company. According to Reinhard, the Indonesian embassy in Panama City has received information that there are still 5 Indonesian crew members whose contracts have expired on the Taiwanese fishing vessels to be repatriated to Indonesia. According to him, it seems that the repatriation of the 5 crew members is still waiting until the reopening of the Tushman Airport in Panama. In this case, Reinhard added, the Indonesian embassy in Panama City is doing and continues to coordinate with the vessel companies in Panama to arrange the repatriation. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The European Union unveiled a proposed €750 billion recovery plan on Wednesday to get the continent back on its feet after the devastation wrecked by the coronavirus pandemic, as Latin America outpaced Europe and the US in the number of daily infections. As quoted by AFP.com, the massive European plan follows other unprecedented emergency measures introduced around the world to rescue the economy shattered by the disease, which has claimed more than 350,000 lives, while infections topped 5.6 million. While the virus continues to wreak havoc in Latin America, Europe has slowly started reopening businesses as outbreaks on the continent slow, but Italy and Spain lack the firepower of richer European nations to rebuild their economies. The European Union put forward a €750 billion or $825 billion proposals to the European Parliament and member states on Wednesday, aiming to help the worst affected countries with a mix of grants and loans. US President Donald Trump threatened Wednesday to shutter social media platforms after Twitter for the first time acted against his false tweet, prompting the enraged Republican to double down on unsubstantiated claims and conspiracy theories. As quoted by AFP.com, Twitter tagged just two of Trump's tweets in which he claimed that more mail-in voting would lead to what he called a rigged election this November. There is no evidence that attempts are being made to rig the election, and under the tweets, Twitter posted a link which read, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots." For years, Twitter has been accused of ignoring the president's breaking of platform's rules with his daily, often hourly barrages of personal insults and inaccurate information sent to more than 80 million followers. Equities were mixed Wednesday as profit-taking and worries about deteriorating China-US relations were waived against optimism over the gradual reopening of the economies around the world. As quoted by AFP.com, Hong Kong extended losses as police fired pepper ball rounds as anti-China protesters took the city's street, with investors fearing the demonstration could erupt into worse unrest since last summer. The broad trend across global markets has been upwards for weeks as virus death and infections ease in most countries and governments begin to reopen their battered economies. fanning hopes for a recovery in the second half of the year. Confidence has also come from mind-boggling amounts of stimulus and central bank pledges of support, with the latest coming from the Eurozone, where European Commission's President Ursula von der Leyen is due to unveil a trillion euro revival plan for the bloc. However, there was little fresh desire for risk assets, with eyes on the simmering row between the world's top two economies, fueled by Donald Trump's barracking of China's over its role in the pandemic, and made worse this week by Beijing looking to tighten its grip on Hong Kong. Victims of Australia's catastrophic bushfires are still living in tents, garage and makeshift shelters months after the blaze ended, with efforts to rebuild their lives hampered by the coronavirus pandemic. As quoted by AFP.com, inside a small tin shed on Australia's southeast coast, a family of six takes refugees from the cold as the southern hemisphere winter begins to bite. The structure, choke full of toys and beds, has been home to 51-year-old Anita Lawrence and five of her children since February. She had been in Tasmania when fires ripped through the area, torching materials ready to build a new home and new life for her family. Cyprus has pledged to cover the holiday costs of anyone who tests positive for the virus after traveling there. In a letter made public on Wednesday, the government said it will pay for accommodation, medicine and food for patients and their families. As quoted by BBC.com, tourists will only need to bear the cost of their airport's transfers and repatriation flights. It is part of a package of measures aimed at drawing visitors back to the island, which has reported few cases. According to Johns Hopkins University data, the country has confirmed 939 infections and 17 deaths. Tourism accounted for about 15% of the country's GDP last year, and so the government is training to bring back travelers as soon as possible. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Amid a fight against COVID-19 pandemic, economic pressure caused by coronavirus was also affecting mass media, one of the frontliners in pandemic handling. World's media companies, including in Indonesia, faced difficulties. Print media had trouble in publishing. Electronic media, TV, and radio has increased in audience but decreased in advertisement, so does online mass media. Usually, media will gain profit from any disaster or crisis, because at such time, more people access media for information about a crisis or disaster. Because of many people accessing media, the sales of print media increased and rating of broadcast media also rose high. From the increase in total printing and rating, including online media, they gained handsome profit from advertisement. However, amid COVID-19 pandemic, such total printing and rating theory does not apply. It means public accessibility is not directly proportional to incoming ads. Although more people are accessing media for information about the non-natural disaster, namely COVID-19, ads are very minimum. With viewer ads, as if high number of audience is not important. In such situation, press expects incentive from the state. Press Council with Media Company Association recently encouraged that the nation will give economic incentive to support the press survival that is affected by the pandemic. There are 7 points submitted by Press Council and Media Association, namely the first, encouraging state to give paper price subsidy for print media around 20% from per kilogram price of the commodity. The second is encouraging state to give electricity cost subsidy for press around 30% from monthly bill for May until December 2020. The third is encouraging state to give low interest and long-term loan through state-owned banks for press companies. Unfortunately, the hope of Press Council may not come true. Government seems to prefer considering economic scale in giving incentive to industries and business people. So, media was excluded from government's focus to be given stimulus in COVID-19 pandemic. If so, what should be done by media companies to survive in the pandemic? The role of press is vital for the life and growth of democracy in a country including Indonesia. press becomes the balancer in state administration process. Therefore, press should not be left falling during COVID-19. To survive the pandemic, media needs to manage their financial carefully. Cost reduction can be done, but media must maintain productivity by fulfilling client or readers' demand. Media needs to keep their productivity because this is the chance to attract loyal audience by providing trusted information. And listener, that was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in our regular segment, Today in History, we start from an event on May 28, 1964, when the Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO, was established. The Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO, is officially a political organization of Palestine, which was recognized by international world. The organization consists of a number of organizations of resistance, law experts, students, laborers, and teachers. The organization seeks a state of Palestine in between Mediterranean and Jordan. Since the PLO's establishment until the death of Yasser Arafat in 2004, Yasser Arafat was the chairman of the organization. The PLO was established on May 28, 1964, after he united all Palestinian organizations of resistance under one organization, Al-Fatah, in 1950s. At the beginning of the establishment, PLO, under supporting of Arafat with his Al-Fatah, attacked Israel simultaneously. Israel also launched attacks to PLO's headquarters in Lebanon. For his persistence that attracted the attention of the international community, in 1969, Arafat was installed as the chairman of PLO. After being the chairman, Arafat began to leave armed attack activity and tried to establish a government in exile. Some important steps which were conducted by him succeeded to make PLO gaining the Arab League recognition as the only one Palestinian organization in 1974. In November 1974, PLO was the only one non-governmental organization which obtained a chance to speak before the United Nations General Assembly. The next event is that in 2000, Maraden Halomuan Pangabean, former chairman of Supreme Advisory Council, passed away. Maraden Halomuan Pangabean, who was born in Tarutung, North Sumatra on June 29, 1922, before his career in military, began his career as teacher in his region. Japanese arrival in early 1940s finally changed his life to be military personnel. After struggling to defend independence in 1945 until 1950, Maraden Pangabean's career in military was commander of army in 1969, minister of defense and security, concurrently commander of the Indonesian military in 1974, until 1978 and coordinator minister of political and security in development cabinet 3 in 1974 until 1978 and coordinator minister of politic and security in development cabinet 3 in 1978 until 1983 in the new regime led by President Suharto. After being chairman of Supreme Advisory Council in 1983 until 1993, Maraden Pangabean got retired. He passed away on May 28, 2000. last event is that in 2008, Nepal Kingdom changed to be Republic. After assignation, occurrence of the king and family on June 1, 2001, and civil war with communist community of Maoists, Nepal was in long conflict. Until 2006, Nepal was the only one Hindu kingdom in the world. But due to political conflict endlessly, in 2006, Nepal parliamentary declared Nepal to be secular state. Finally, on May 28, 2008, officially, Nepal changed its government system from kingdom to be republic, so that officially Nepal Kingdom changed to be Republic of Nepal. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Meskipun nanti tak hitam lagi, bila habis sudah waktu ini tak lagi berpijak pada dunia. Telah aku habiskan sisa hidupku hanya untukmu, dan telah habis sudah cinta ini tak lagi sisa untuk dunia, karena telah ku habiskan sisa cintaku hanya untukmu.
Nah,
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Today's My Indonesia title, ASEAN Center for Biodiversity calls transformative change is a must. ASEAN Center for Biodiversity ACB Executive Director Teresa Mondita Aslim stressed that transformative change is no longer just an option but a necessity to protect biodiversity. Lim, in her written statement received in Jakarta recently on Friday, said, "Biodiversity conservation will not only prevent but also offer helpful solutions as a source of healing or cure for various zoonotic diseases in the future. In addition, biodiversity conservation also provides answers for food and water security in the future." This was conveyed by Teresa Mondita Aslim in connection with the commemoration of World Biodiversity Day 2020, which falls on May 22nd. Teresa Lim said, "Despite the huge threat posed by the COVID-19 pandemic to public health, 2020 remains a super year for nature and biodiversity because all parties are reminded on how humanity is closely related to the ecosystem in its environment and all other components. Human health is very dependent on environmental health." Lim explained, "The ASEAN Center for Biodiversity supports ASEAN member countries in effort to increase biodiversity considerations in regional and national agendas, and in particular, relating to the field of public health when all countries are considering switching to a new normal life. Through the strong partnerships that are fostered in ASEAN, each member countries can demonstrate that they can work together to heal the earth, one of which is recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic. On World Biodiversity Day, the ASEAN Biodiversity Center is working with other global communities in addressing the environmental challenges that are currently being faced. The commemoration theme is Our Solutions Exist in Nature, in line with ASEAN's determination to ensure the conservation and sustainable management of biodiversity in the region. The year 2020 has been announced earlier as the Super Year for Nature when the decade of the UN Strategic Plan for Biodiversity 2011-2020 will end. Governments around the world are expected to record their achievements and challenges in implementing the Convention on Biological Diversity in Kunming, China, and to negotiate for a post-2020 global biodiversity framework that outlines a bold plan to stop and reverse the loss of biodiversity, which unfortunately is delayed by the outbreak of COVID-19. That was today's My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Cintamu, bawalah daku selalu dekatmu.
are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know some gubal cake from Lampung. Stay tuned. Talking about Lebaran, every region in Indonesia has special cakes on that holiday, such as in Lampung. The people of Lampung feel that Lebaran is not complete if they don't serve segubal cake. Segubal is made of sticky rice and coconut milk. Making this food is not easy because it takes around 8 until 10 hours. Firstly, the sticky rice, which is soaked for one day, is cooked with thick coconut milk. Then it is steamed and formed flat and rolled up by using banana leaf. The dough is boiled for 4 hours. Because the making process of segubal cake is rather complicated, the people of Lampung, especially residents of Olok Gading sub-district, Teluk Betung Barat district, Bandar Lampung, made the segubal cake together. Segubal has sweet and savory taste. It can be directly enjoyed, but Lampung people usually eat it along with sayur pedas. Sayur pedas is like chicken curry, but it has more spicy taste. Besides with sayur pedas, segubal can be enjoyed with chicken curry, rendang, and tape. Many Lampung people sell segubal at traditional markets with a price around 10,000 rupiah until 20,000 rupiah. The food also can be found in various traditional ceremonies in the region, such as circumcision and wedding. The food becomes a symbol and part of tradition, which is important in Lampung. In Lebaran, segubal also becomes a delivery food for relatives and close friends. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Untuk setia. mencoba untuk setia. Sesaat malam datang menjemput kesendirianku, dan bila pagi datang ku tahu kau tak di sampingku. Aku masih di sini untuk setia. Aku masih di sini untuk setia. Aku masih di sini untuk setia.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Lasem, a fox market, is opened. Lasem is a district in Rembang Regency, Central Java Province. It is also known as Small China because it became city where Chinese people came to Java Island. Lasem is also known as Batik City. Batik Lasem is one of the classic types, or usually called pakem, with its own typical motif, namely combination of bold and striking colors with various kinds of motifs. Most of Lasem people depend on their life as batik makers. COVID-19 pandemic causes most of batik houses to decrease their production. According to Didit Maulana, a designer who is also products curator of Kang Semsem Lasem, it needs a commercial room is needed if tourists cannot directly come to Lasem. Thereby, on May 12, Lasem Folk Market was established as online market during the COVID-19 pandemic. If the real tourism industry is sluggish, shopping activities of various products can virtually still run via online. Lasem Folk Market becomes marketing media of the mainstay products, which have been through accuracy process. The batik, which is directly marketed, is handmade. The market can be accessed at the website kesemsemlasem.com. Lasem Folk Market is a place for local traders to get space to market their products. There are many kinds of Lasem products, such as Wastra, Rasa, and Kriya products. The most famous merchandise category of Wastra is batik, while for Rasa category is culinary, such as salty fish, salty squid, and sweet soy sauce. And Kriya category is chopper, teapot, and stone mortar. That was our segment Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
satu aku bukan jatuh cinta, namun aku jatuh hati. Ku terpikat pada tutumu, aku tersihir ciummu, terkagum pada pandangmu, caramu melihat dunia. Ku harap kau tahu bahwa ku terinspirasi hatimu. Ku tak harus memilikimu, tapi bolehkah ku selalu di dekatmu. Ada ruang hatiku, sentuh aku bukan jatuh cinta, namun aku jatuh hati. Ku terpikat pada tutumu, aku tersihir ciummu, terkagum pada pandangmu, caramu melihat dunia. Ku harap kau tahu si hatimu, ku tak harus memilikimu, tapi bolehkah ku selalu di dekatmu. Katanya cinta memang banyak bentuknya, dan ku tahu pasti sungguh aku jatuh hati.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present a song from a legendary singer of Indonesia, Titiek Puspa. Titiek Puspa began her career in the entertainment industry since 1952. There have been many music works from the singers, who is familiarly called Eyang. Not only became hits at the time the songs released, but it can be enjoyed and popular all the time. One of them is the song Jatuh Cinta. The song Jatuh Cinta, which was composed by Titiek Puspa, is a cheerful and dynamic song. This song has also covered by other musicians such as Edi Silitonga, Iis Dahlia, and Project Pop Group. This song describes the feeling of someone when they fall in love. Listener, here is Titiek Puspa with the song Jatuh Cinta. Enjoy the song. La, 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 la.
Biar siang, biar malam, terbayang wajahnya. Jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya. Biar hitam, biar putih, manislah nampaknya. Dia jauh, aku cemas, tapi hati rindu. Dia dekat, aku senang, tapi salah tingkah. Dia aktif, aku pura-pura jual mahal.
jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya. Dipandang dibelai apoi rasanya. Wow wow jatuh cinta berjuta nikmatnya. Menangis tertawa karena jatuh cinta. Wow asiknya. La 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 la.
Voice of Indonesia.
Pikir-pikir, apanya, 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 don, yang sebelah mana? Sesuatu sangat menarik. Oh, pikir-pikir apanya, apanya, apanya dong. Dia punya apa? Sungguh mati aku tertarik. Mungkin itu coba aku lihat lagi yang mana yang menarik. Oh yeah, mungkin itu matanya, hidungnya, semuanya biasa saja. Makin aku memandangnya, makin aku jatuh hati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hai gadis, adikku ayu, bahagianya seumurmu. Kau lincah, cantik dan lugu, tawa tangis kau pun lucu. Hai gadis, kau pasti tahu dilambangkan kuncu bunga. Hai gadis, engkau pun tahu kini kuncu
Alright listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.